Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning again. Peace be with you all this morning. I was thinking as we were studying again, what is that greatest peace that can be with you this morning? Isn't it the peace that only the Holy Spirit can bring to His children? That's a peace and comfort within each soul if He is present. Now this morning we again, I trust that each one has come praying that God would again send His Holy Spirit into this place to receive what He has for us. God here in our service, can you only imagine that? Sometimes it's hard for me to comprehend that a high and holy God would be okay to come down into our services where there is weak individuals. Individuals that have scars of sin in their lives, like me. But that's real. He says, if you are willing. I said, I am able. He says, I will send the Holy Spirit once again into your presence. Is a man's worship accepted this morning if in the past week he lived life to self? And not to help others bloom for Jesus Christ. Can a man be filled this morning and led by the Holy Spirit when the message is viewed as for others? Oh, I'm hoping that brother or sister is here, and I hope they're not falling asleep because this message is, they really need to hear that. Can the Holy Spirit fill me and lead me when I enter in those kind of thoughts? Listen, my friends, this morning, it's the temptation from the devil himself. If he can, he will distract you for one couple minutes this morning to lead you astray so that you don't have strength for next week. There's a verse that came to my thought as I was studying. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the spirit. And friends, whenever I look down the bench to see who's here that needs to hear that message, or if I prepare a message for an individual and not for myself, I quench the Holy Spirit. There is no strength for me in those kind of messages. But the worst one is in Hebrews 2:3. How shall I, it says we, escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first began to speak by the Lord himself? Then what happened after that? The prophets preached it. It was the word preached out of inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This morning, the Comforter is here. The Holy Spirit is present with us. John 14. A few verses I'd like to read out of John 14. Verse 15 to 18. The Sunday school lesson was very, very good for me, and I just loved how it just, it's just so inspiring to me when it fits into a message that you want to preach, and it seems like there's missing links. But you know, again, that's how I know that the Holy Spirit is here. The things that were shared, the voice of the brotherhood that was coming forth out of the Sunday school lesson already told me that there's hearts on fire for the Lord. But there's this word that I think concludes the matter of faith put into works. Verse 15, if you love me. Friends, if love is not here this morning, and if love is not a part of your life this morning, then the message and the Sunday school lesson is probably as void as it can get. It is empty. It's like an empty vessel with a great big hole in the bottom, and it will never be filled. It never will be filled until we lay love in the bottom of that thing and seal it up. Now we can hold and we can save the supply and give to others. I'd like to read a few verses, 15 to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth within you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 23 yet. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Friends, those are beautiful words. This morning, Jesus again, I was reminded again how Jesus stands at the door of heaven, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits until his children decide to reach out to grab his hand. I was walking through the dark, and the child that was with me was fearful and reached up and grabbed hold of my hand. I was struck. When I'm fearful, when things happen in life, where do I reach for? What do I reach for? Jesus is patiently saying, child, reach up to my hand. I'm like a father. I'm like a father. I was challenged when that thought struck me that sometimes I think, and I know, I reach for things that are not Jesus' hand. For fulfillment. For security. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Thanksgiving has just been over, but this morning again, if we believe that, and that he has come and to give us life and to give it more abundantly, there should be praise flowing from our hearts and thanksgiving that cannot be stopped. For a message, I would like to look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. I'm not sure why the Lord laid this on my heart, but I do know for one thing that he wanted to teach me a lesson. And I invite you to join me in studying and looking at what 2 Timothy 2, verse 23 is what really caught my attention. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. The message, the title is this morning is Vessels Meet for the Master's Use. Now, friends, you already gave me a jump start on a Sunday school lesson that if you believe that it takes faith to produce works and both cannot be separated, you're already setting the stage that you believe that we can be vessels fit for the master's use. Fitful for the master's use. I'd like to take this time and just read a few verses. Maybe read from verse 1 because I don't know where to break off. I just like to read this, everything in this chapter. But start in verse 1 and we'll read to verse 21. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble, as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. and their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrowing the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God is sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the Lord, that nameth the name of Jesus, of Christ, excuse me, depart from iniquity. But in great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. I think I'd probably be okay with just closing with that and let you meditate on what we just read. If you really take to heart everything that's in the verses, there's no wiggle room. He doesn't excuse anybody. He gives no place for error. He gives no place for ungodly works or even hate for a brother. I'd like to look at the word purge for just a little bit. The word purge here has this idea of cleansing thoroughly, getting away, cutting off, casting out. Which reminded me of Matthew 5, 29 and 30, where Jesus said, you know, if you know that something is hindering you, he says, take care of it. And he gets very radical. I don't expect you this morning to take a tool and dig an eye out, or to take the saw and cut your right hand off. But why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus say that? The reason why Jesus said that is to bring the point home that if that is an offense to me, I need to get rid of it. Cut it off. Purge. Disconnect. He says this thing won't come naturally to anybody. It won't. It takes a special effort. Let me just tell you, if you think about taking an eye out, how long would you have to think about it before you'd actually get it done? Or taking a hand off. I think you'd stop and ponder for a long, long time before you would take that action. That is what he is saying. Within myself, I'm not strong enough to stand this. He says, make an effort. Take a special action into my word to strengthen you. That's what he's talking about, purging here. It's a radical action. The other word that I'd like to look at before we go into the points is this word meet, M-E-E-T. I know it has a couple different meanings, but the meaning that he has here is easily used. Easily used. Usable, profitable. I came across this quote, to be employed in the most useful and honorable service in the cause of the master. This word has the idea is when God says, brother, sister from Great Lakes. Everybody goes, what do you want, Lord? Where do you want me to go? That is the word meet that he's using here. Just a little story for the children. So maybe you can wrap your minds around this thing of meat for the master's use. There's two odors that go up to God and that he can smell. Did you know that? There is this story in Genesis about two people, and they both built an altar, and God was looking forward for the sweet smelling aroma from a burnt sacrifice. So Abel comes, you all know Abel, he comes with his offering and he puts it upon the altar, and this smell comes up, and I can only imagine God smiled. He said, yes, Abel, you have it. Right there is what I'm looking for. And then we have the story of Cain. Within his heart, he was not purged, neither was he meet, ready for the master's use. But he brought an offering, and he put it on the altar, and he led it just the same. But when that smell came up to God, it made his eyes water. Now, do you ever smell anything that made your eyes water? Let me just illustrate it a little bit closer. What happens when you're out in the cold and you're playing, and you come in and mom is cooking this favorite stew that you always like? That aroma makes you smile. That smell is like, fresh donuts. They are so good. And you get all happy inside. Well, let me tell you a little story of my dad worked with meat a little bit, and there was this odor that came from the basement that was very peculiar. And it became stronger, and it became stronger, and finally I was chosen to go search it out. Well, I found a container that was not in the proper place. And let me tell you, that smell made my eyes water. Rotting meat. Now just imagine God, as we are down here working for Him, we can either do things that make Him smile and feel pleased within. He does say that He is pleased with our worship when it's done right. But He is also not very pleased when that stench comes up, when that bad smell comes up. And that is when we're not purged and when we're not meat ready for the Master's use. You know, when you decide that you're not going to listen to your parents this morning or yesterday, I think I'm just not going to do that. You know, that lets us smell. That lets us smell. Friends, brothers and sisters, God is still looking for vessels, servants that are willing to be used. Meat for the Master's use. Number 625, he says, and the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Friends, that is vessels that were prepared for the Master's use. It makes smiles come. I'm sure the angels are up in heaven and they're just overwhelmed when they see a worship service like this done out of the depth of the heart. I like to look at vessels, willing vessels. First part is, a willing vessel is one that relies in the strength of Jesus Christ. We find that in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Being washed and understanding that the Holy Spirit, when it's not quenched, can give you the strength that you need to stand up against anything. Paul says, there is nothing that disconnects me from the love of Jesus Christ. He said, there is nothing. He said, they can kill me, and I'm still not disconnected from the love of Jesus Christ. And that is really what happened to Paul. He is still experiencing the love of Jesus Christ right now. They also, a willing vessel, will trust in the words that he has heard and committed to faithful obedience to the end. Now, we didn't read these verses, but just in the chapter before this, chapter 1, 13 and 14, it says, Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is Christ Jesus, that the good things which was committed unto you keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. The word Holy Ghost is also translated as Holy Spirit. Friends, if you this morning know the Holy Spirit, He is also the one that is keeping that word bound in your hearts. It's also written in Revelations, he that keepeth the sayings of this book, Revelations 22:7, is not just the knowledge of reading, but friends, rather by living according to its direction given. A vessel meet for the Master's use will look to the strength of Jesus Christ so that I can live according to what He has called us to. The next one is, vessels will encounter pain and suffering. You know, vessels meet for the Master's use will endure things that maybe even just the world around you does not see as even, why would you do that? Why would you do that? That is painful. Move away from it. But a vessel fit for the Master's use will endure pain. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardships, hardness, as a good soldier to Jesus Christ. It's not an easy thing, and it's a thing that has to be committed to Jesus for strength. John 15:19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Friends, is there suffering and pain when the world around you hates you? There is. There is. You can be assured that his promise that he has left us, that there is going to be things that you will make a decision on based on Jesus Christ, and you will not turn away from him, that will cost you something. Psalms 15:4 says, I will swear to my hurt and I will not turn away from it. I will not change it. What does that mean? Friends, that is making a commitment to Jesus Christ. And if I have to endure pain, it's okay. And I will not turn away from it. I will not turn away from it. David knew that. And he was committing his life to do what God wanted him to. And with that, he had to keep running for his life. And he said, I'm not going to change it. He could have changed it. All he would have had to do is pick up the sword and take care of Saul, and it would have been not over. It would have been a temporary relief. A vessel fit for the master's use will not entangle himself with the things of this world. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. Matthew 6:19, there he gives us a story of the treasures that we store. The things that make my heart beat. The things that I can easily talk about. The things that really move me when they're taken away from me. What is it? Do I get more moved when I hear a person derailing Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross? Or does it hurt me more when I hear that the stock market has crashed? When I'm connected or disconnected, it will make a big difference. I will respond to exactly what I've been connected to and what I have been dwelling on, what I get up in the morning for, if that gets removed from me. A vessel willing for the master's use will stay free from the world's affairs, which will in turn cause suffering. A willing vessel will first be an example how to live. And we find that one in verse 6. He talks about this husbandman that hath that labor must first be partakers of the fruit. Friend, it's almost like a man going on a far journey and he's carrying a morsel of bread for whoever he meets. But friends, if he doesn't first partake of that parcel of meat, he will never have strength to go there and deliver that message or the food that he has. You know, that is exactly how it is. We were talking this morning in Sunday school lesson about meeting the man on the street that has not known Jesus Christ. What are you going to tell him? Come on over to Great Lakes. The minister will tell you exactly what you're going to have to do. Is that what you're going to tell him? He says, no, I don't want to go there. You have one chance. What are you going to tell him? Are you going to know the word and understand what Jesus Christ has done for you in your heart, your life, and present that to him? Or are you going to show him where he should maybe go so that somebody else can help him? A willing vessel will consider and study and search for understanding. Verse 7, he says, he prompts Timothy and he says, consider. That means stop. Disconnect from everything and look at what I have said to you and just think, meditate on it. Just deeply ponder on it. Consider what I say and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Have you ever come to the place that you have to make a choice and you didn't have an answer? Has it caused you to stop and consider the path that you're on? Has it caused you to stop and consider who is guiding your life and giving you the next breath? If it has, then is when understanding starts taking place. A vessel fit for the master's use will not strive with words that are non-profitable. A vessel that is fit for the master's use will only say and do those things that he knows will help him or her in the daily battle that you're in. It will also not use strife, strive with words or babblings, because they will cause a person that is weak to go further into darkness. You see, it's a tearing down effect. It's when you're weak and I talk non-profitable words to you, what's going to happen? Do you get stronger and you're willing to stand for what's truth? Or will you become weaker and decide in your heart that he doesn't care about me either? Well, that's true. That is truth. A willing vessel. Verse 15. Will not be ashamed about the godly life that he is being revealed as he walks from day to day. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In life, as we live our lives, how many times have you caught yourself making a decision based on the approval that you might receive from a brother or sister? Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of God, of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. This morning, I believe we know of many different people that have started out following the Lord Jesus Christ, have ended up making decisions and choices based on the approval of men. Where are they at now? They're struggling. They're struggling. Why? Because approval of men is not what gives Christians strength. It's the word of Jesus Christ connected to the Holy Spirit. That's what gives man strength to move on. Willing vessels of Jesus Christ will also continue to build on the sure foundation, Jesus Christ. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Jesus, of Christ, depart from iniquity. That foundation, again, is as sure as a foundation as you can find. There's many foundations that are laid in this world that we go around, that we work in. But I don't think there's any of them that haven't been shaken yet. Every one of them has been shaken sometime or another. He says, this foundation is sure, and this is a blessed thought, and he knows you personally. He knows you personally. He knows them that are his. He knows vessels that are willing to be used in his work. A willing vessel will stay away from sin or even the thing that could cause me to fall. He says in the end of verse 19, depart from iniquity. If I name Jesus Christ, friends, I got to depart from iniquity. Stay away from it. A willing vessel will never portray to others that he is a golden vessel and others are silver or wood. But rather, we understand that if we are in the work of the Lord, we are equals. We are equals. This morning, the thing that lies within the man of heart, the hearts of man, and it lays within this heart right here. You know, when I'm striving for approval in man's eyes, I consider myself gold. I'm pretty good. And if I get the approval, what happens? There's this thing that grows within me that I am pretty good. And I convince myself that I'm pretty good. But I'm a vessel to the dishonor of God. I'm not even an earthen vessel anymore. He says, you're removed. We are equal at the foot of the cross where Jesus Christ has died for each one of us. There's no steps or rankings beside the cross or underneath the cross. A willing vessel. We didn't read this verse, but in verse 24. Is willing to teach others the way of life and the grace that Jesus Christ has showed in my life. It will be gentle and patient while walking with those that need time to grow. There's been times in my life when you feel like, and I'm sure my parents felt the same way for me. He needs a shove. He ain't getting there fast enough. He needs to be pushed on. That's not how Jesus Christ worked. You know, in his ministry down here on earth, he never pressured anybody to take the next step. He would always call for them. He would always have an open invitation. He would never force anybody to take that next step. That is what he's looking for down here. Vessels meet for the master's use. Understand the love of Jesus Christ. Without showing love to others, like Jesus did for me and for you, you will not be a purged vessel, but rather you will be a filthy vessel. Friends, this morning, if you forget anything else that I said, remember, a vessel that is fit for the master's use is filled with love. The love that Christ had when he stood at the foot of the cross and he knew he was going to die there. For you and I. That is vessels fit for the master's use. He is still interceding for each one, and he loves each one of you. Shall we pray? O loving God in heaven, I want to just thank you this morning again for the love that you have showed to each one of us. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to dwell within the hearts and to give us understanding as we search your word, that we would understand and deeply comprehend the vessel that is purged, the vessel that is meet for your use. God, I just pray that you would again fill us with the understanding of love. And Lord, if there's been anything shared this morning, I just pray that it would not bear fruit. But God, I just pray that as we take this to heart, that we would become vessels fit for your use, ready to go wherever you call us to, with love for each one that we meet. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.